Good morning, everybody. Michael here. Welcome to this lovely Monday morning, spring morning. I'm with two of my colleagues, trainee Owen White. Hello, Owen.
Hi.
And my lovely colleague and long-term friend, Izaz Ali.
Hi.
So, what we thought today would discuss about escrow and the importance of escrow. Lord, it's been around now 20-odd years. And escrow has been a key part to what we've been trying to do. Do you want to just briefly touch upon what is the term escrow? What does it mean?
So escrow, in the context of what we provide as a service, is mainly in relation to software and data, website code, etc. And what that involves is Laudit solicitors acting as an escrow agent, and as an escrow agent we draft and enter into what we call a tripartite agreement, which is a fancy word for an agreement between three parties, including Laudit solicitors. So effectively the owner of the software, the owner of the software's client or customer who licenses the software off them, and Laudit solicitors. And the contract, in want of a better term, sets out circumstances where that licensee is given access to what we call the source code to that software. So heaven forbid if the software provider goes bust, he goes out of business, the licensee is not left high and dry, he's got a means of being able to access that software to be up and running. So business continuity.
If you engage with parties to do escrow, the third party, which is the solicitors, which would be Laudit, it's almost ring-fencing the asset. It's saying that we're protecting that asset in the event anything goes wrong.
Correct. So given circumstances, so normally it is insolvency, that tends to be the main point. But over the years, we have seen critical software applications to also include SLAs, which are short for service level agreements, to say that if a certain event happens and we're offline for a period of X number of hours, and this happens more than once in a 30-day period, then that ought to be a trigger for release as well, for that code to then be released and for you to be able to go to someone else and say, hi, this is the software that we're using, here's a source code to it, we're looking for someone who can support us with it. So there's various aspects. So you can be very creative, or you could just stick to the knitting, so to speak, and just say this is only in relation to us going out of business.
But I presume you need to have everybody, you mentioned a three-party agreement, a tri-party agreement, but you need to have each party needs to be willing to engage.
Yes, so a lot of the time companies are very nervous about going into this, especially software vendors.
It's ownership, isn't it? So they'd be worried about their data, their confidential information being disclosed to other people.
Yeah, so it's effectively their crown jewels. This is a source code to their offering, and that's the concern that they would have. But once the software provider is given the assurance that the release is only in these given circumstances, and obviously there's got to be a meeting of the minds, there's got to be an agreement to that, then it effectively gives them the opportunity to sort of, you know, stand by their reputation and the promises that they're effectively making.
Because over the years, we've dealt with specifically with web developers, haven't we? Where the client, their customer client, you know, a simple website, say with a back end.
Yeah.
You know, all the websites now have back ends. So a complicated buying and selling back end, which has been bespoke. So it's not, you know, it's not shopping, it's a bespoke software that's created. Now, it would be reasonable for that client customer to insist, or to at least ask the question, what happens if anything goes wrong to you, the creator of this software? If you die, if you go under, force majeure, you name it. If anything happens to these developers, it's perfectly reasonable, isn't it, for the customer to say, well, I want access to that.
Yeah.
And so how do you persuade the developer to give you that access?
So to the developer or the software provider, what we say is, and obviously this is all down to negotiation, it's all down to terms, but a reasonable term to include, which I almost insist always, is that the release of the source code is for business continuity purposes. We don't extend that hand and allow the licensee, upon receipt of the source code, to then jump in the shoes of the licensor, because they may have the money and the resources, to then say, well, actually, this developer was supporting 25 clients. We've now got the source code. We can jump in his shoes and effectively offer that service to the other 24 licensees that are now finding themselves in the same boat as us. So it's just to give them that assurance, but it doesn't allow the licensee to jump in your shoes and, you know, make a business of it. It's just business continuity. And equally, if you've got 25 clients and one of them comes forward and says, hey, you've breached the agreement, you guys have gone out of business, or this has happened, that code needs to be released to me, the code is released to them under the terms of that agreement. But if the developer's in a position to get himself back up and running, or others have not complained, he's still got the other 24 clients he's servicing, and he's not released the code to them because there's been no need to release to them.
And would you say that the escrow setup that you've mentioned with software is mainly to do with bespoke? You're not really going to get a developer, are you, willing to do escrow for just mass turned out off the shelf kit, are you?
No, because the move really is for bespoke and tailor-made stuff, because a lot of the non-bespoke stuff to run on platforms, and there is some integration between the platforms in that if, you know, you've got backups of there, it's all part of the package, and if one platform was to go down and you've got your backup, you can potentially go to another platform, get a developer to spend minimal time to get it up and running. It might take them a day or two to get, you know, to iron out all the little intricacies and bugs, but there's a good understanding between the way that those platforms work, that your data can be sort of integrated with reasonable ease.
And we've touched upon software. There are other aspects, aren't there, of escrow, which probably the general members of the public will be more fully aware. Assets, art, cars, ships, yachts. We've come across that, but we don't really like to become too involved, do we, when it comes to that, because of the issue of money laundering, et cetera.
Yeah, so we have in the past dealt with that. They've been for very high-end items, because you've got to sort of factor in the costs associated to it. So just sort of going back to the sort of software data escrow provisions that we were discussing, really low end of the scale, a box standard contract is not a lot of money based on our skill and experience in the industry and how many of these that we've done. And the costs are in the region of about £700 plus VAT. There have been occasions where we've been involved in looking at the licensing terms and advised on other aspects of it as consultants, and fees have been in the range of about £2,500. So it really depends on sort of where we sort of enter in to this. There's an ongoing yearly cost for us to sort of manage the escrow facility, and that basically means us taking in the material that goes into escrow, and that could be something on a CD or a DVD, or more the case now, a thumb drive as USB drive. So those sort of aspects
so
of it.
That question's often asked to me about where do we store it? You know, if we get it, I mean, how secure are we?
So, we've got a shoebox, and it's kept in that shoebox in the bank, in effect. So it's kept in a vault.
To clarify, listeners, that the shoebox is a metal box.
Yeah, so it's fireproof.
We call it a shoebox, but it wasn't when the Adidas were.
Yeah, no. So it's basically fireproof, waterproof, that sort of stuff, and it's kept in a bank. And we've got an arrangement to be able to access it on weekdays with them, in case we need to have a release. And if there is a release, there's third parties that we engage with in relation to that aspect of the release, for them to sort of pick up from us and courier it down to the others, and for them to...
Would you say there's more of a need for it now than there was 20 years ago, or do you think it's become less of a need, escrow?
I think there's definitely more of a need for it. I mean, our business in relation to it has grown year on year with regards to it, because more and more people want something bespoke for their business. They don't want the vanilla flavor software. And the question to ask yourself is that the cost of engaging a consultant or a software programmer to write some code, look at the intricacies of your business and the other software, integrating that software to work with your existing setup and operation, how much is that going to cost? And can you live without it? And if you can't live without it, so to speak, what's going to cause an element of disruption which you can do without, then the cost of having an escrow facility and having it up and running, you know, over a couple of years at a budget of, you know, a couple of £1,000s is peace of mind and well worth it.
But if you're spending a fortune, I mean, we're talking six figures on the software, it's been bespoken purely for you, there's going to be no licensees, it's going to be exclusive. I mean, that would demand escrow, wouldn't it?
100%. It'd be a no-brainer. It'd be the sort of thing that, you know, often when we get asked to look at other licensing contracts for a client and we look at the sort of figures involved, or we look at the specialism or the skill set of the programmer who's writing the code or the team that he's involved in, it's often a question that we would raise, and we sometimes come across a situation where, you know, our client would be scratching their heads and thinking, escrow, what's all that about? I've not really heard that term, can you explain it? And once we go through that exercise, they'll then approach the developer and say, hi, yeah, we've been advised that we need to put this in place, and they'll already have an arrangement, or they'll just literally boomerang back to us and say, right, can you explain, or how do we go about doing this? And then the way that we sell it to the developer or the licensor is that, look, this is your opportunity to stand in front of the line with the rest of the developers that you're pitching against to say that, look, we not only provide this software, but we're willing to provide this kind of insurance policy in place to say that if we go out of business, you guys are still up and running, so please.
Well, I mean, that's a good way of explaining an insurance policy. I mean, there isn't, I was asked you the day, is there a figure that you have in mind which you'd encourage an escrow agreement to be in place? You know, £2,000, £5,000, £25,000, where do you start drawing a line, and when do you start saying to the developer, look, it's time for escrow? It's a difficult one, isn't it?
It's difficult. I think it's all down to business continuity. You get used to using a system and a service, and you say to yourself that, look, if this was to go down, as and when a business grows, the teams get bigger, and it's a case of how critical is this to our operation? Is there an alternative out there? And it's an exercise that you need to do on a yearly basis. Because equally, it keeps the developers in check to say that, right, how can we continue to improve our product to make this fit your business like a glove and to really work for you? Because depending on the industry, from a developer's perspective, notwithstanding that they've written something bespoke for you, if they can then see that this is applicable to the masses, so take, for example, it's software for surveyors, and the surveyor business says these are our requirements and they tweak the software to work with that business, then there's no reason why they can't go to all the other surveyors up and down the country and say, hi guys, you no doubt have a requirement for this. We've got software that can amalgamate and communicate between X and Y and provide this information to you on a tablet, on your mobile. And that sort of thing really helps that developer. And it was just a one-off project potentially that they did, but it's opened up a huge market for them. And again, approaching those people and saying, we've got escrow, we've got this in escrow in case we go out of business. We're a small firm, but guess what? We've got something that you actually do need from us. So it's a good selling point for them as well.
So what's the benefit between having an escrow agreement or just having a contractual agreement just between the two parties, would you say?
Is that without an escrow, so just a normal licensing?
Just a normal license.
I think, look, the normal licensing agreement is very, very important because it sets out the basis of the relationship between them. And in relation to that, it's extremely rare for a developer to give the source code to their software. So ordinarily they wouldn't. It'd be like, you get the front end of it and this is how it works. So just take, for example, just to get an idea of what we mean by the front end and on the source code, we use Microsoft Office to write letters, and we use particularly a package called Microsoft Word. Now, that is a module in the Microsoft Office package. That module itself We want to see the pretty end of it. So we see the screen and we can hit one of the icons at the top that says print. We can hit an icon and change the font and the color and underline and do reviewing and track changes and whatever. That's what we see. But if the package was to become corrupt, or the package was to break or fail, or there was bugs or problems with it, we couldn't cure them. We rely on Microsoft to issue a release or an update, and that update then goes into that package, updates it, then we do a start to that package. So we do a software boot, and when a hardware boot, and when the package comes alive again, it checks for updates and says, right, you're now up and running, and hopefully we'll have cured that issue. Now, ordinarily, that's what someone would get, but if Microsoft ever went out of business, heaven forbid, if they went out of business, who would provide those bug fixes? Who would provide those updates? Because the operating system could change, or other packages that we use at Microsoft Office amalgamates with, take for example Adobe Acrobat. So we could draft a document in Microsoft Word and then we save it as an Adobe extension, or it could be CorelDRAW or one of the other packages, for example, Excel or PowerPoint for presentation purposes. So with all of those parameters, there's things that could go wrong. And if they were to go wrong and we were totally reliant on that and there was no alternative for us, or the cost of an alternative was expensive, we would want that to go into escrow. So if something was to go wrong, we would have that. But ordinarily in a software contract, they would skim over that issue because there's no need. Here's our software package. It does what it says on the tin. Sign here, pay the license fee and continue to use it.
So I think really in summary, I think a decision needs to be made at board level when you do commission any software to do consider escrow. But it does depend on A, the business continuity plan, and also the cost of the software and the cost to the business. Is that fair enough?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, just a cost-benefit exercise. Can we live without this? Is it critical to our operation? Is it something that, you know, we really do need? We don't want the downtime. You know, how much is half a day or a day going to cost us if we're out of action with this? How much is a week going to cost us if we're out of action for this? You know, in engaging another third-party company to say, hi guys, can you come in? We've got a bit of software that does X, Y, Z for us. Can you write us a bit of software to do X, Y, Z? What's the cost of that? Is it worth us paying, you know, £1,500 and have an ongoing cost of a couple hundred pounds a year to keep that service ticking over? It's not a lot of money, but the overall benefit of it is considerable.
Perfect. Izaz, Owen, thank you very much, and we'll speak again.
Thank you.
Cheers.